insurance.
It's your show, man.
Pull us in.
Did you want
to talk about Harry Dean Stanton?
Well, we will talk about Harry Dean Stanton, but I've made a conscious decision to not start the show with death because...
Oh, all right. That's a good idea.
That tends to bump people out. Idea. So, of course, we might be doing the show right now. I guess we'll see. So if so, I broke my rule. Yeah, why not? This is the show. So hello, Criterion Now,
hello.
Number 33. And we have a new voice and an old voice. So we have Max Coville. Max, thanks for joining. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Max, real quick, tell us about yourself, what you do and what you're up to.
Yeah, I'm currently a news writer and columnist for Film School Rejects. I've had my work appear at other sites like Paste Magazine and Playboy. And I'm also one half of the two hosts of the podcast, It's the Pictures.
It's the Pictures. Yeah, I was checking that out. And so what would you say that that podcast is about? Or what, like your the summary, I guess.
Well, me and my co-host John Gilpatrick, who's part of the Online Film Critics Society, we talk about latest films, and a lot of our shows are about the festival circuit, and even we do episodes on Criterions. We love the label and the films of the Criterion Collection, so I'm very happy to be on this show.
Cool. Well, we're happy to have you. And last but not least, we have Mr. Trevor Barrett.
Hello, Aaron. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been so you've only done, you said one of these shows or two of these shows? I can't keep track of.
I think just one at the kind of at the beginning with David.
Right.
I didn't have good audio because I was stranded without good internet.
Yeah.
So you recorded me from my phone, I think. I appreciate that. I totally expected you just to delete me. But
No. That was a one-time thing. It'll never happen again. Well, I'm glad to talk to you again. I guess it's been a very long time since I talked to you without David around. So it's weird. Or I don't think I've ever talked to you without David and Mark.
I don't
Mark.
Really know what to do without them here. No, it's good. Aaron and I have chatted plenty of times offline about many things. So
and online too. We've done Criterion Cast shows and mm-hmm. here and there, newsstands and end of the year episodes. So let's just kick it off by talking about what we've been up to lately. And Max, do you want to start us off with what you've been doing?
Yeah, I've just been at the Toronto International Film Festival that is wrapping up tomorrow. And catching a lot of the big films from this year, including The Shape of Water and Lady Bird, and maybe even the earlier big movie from Sundance, Call Me By Your Name. So it was a great festival, and if you haven't been to TIFF, certainly try to get up there sometime, because Toronto's a beautiful city. It's just a wonderful place to be, and the everybody loves film there. You could tell just mm-hmm. from... sitting in the audiences and just the overall excitement about each of the films.
Yeah, I love the light box. Toronto's a great city. I don't think I'll ever get up there because I'm married to a professor and it's just terrible time for it's right after school starts. Definitely love the city and the light box. Did you see Florida Project by chance?
Oh, unfortunately, no. It was on my radar to see it, but it was playing against The Square, and I really wanted to see that because Ruben Östlund's films really excite me.
Yeah, that won the Palm, too. Was that worth it?
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. I can't wait to see it. So Trevor, you're now in kind of podcast limbo. You're just a guy with a blog again.
It is weird. I'll tell you. It's a little strange.
Not, I guess technically not. The Eclipse Viewer ended, but you're in other projects. I know we've kind of had a little lull with Criterion Cast, but what have you been doing lately?
Well, so we have been doing some Criterion Cast episodes. David, Scott, and I have been shifting things around. Each one of us will take one. What did we just do? Oh, we just did one with Matt Gasteyer on an Autumn Afternoon to finish off our Ozu.
That was a good connection with your final Eclipse. I forgot about that.
But. Yeah, so we did that one fairly recently. I have been a guest on David's new podcast version of the Criterion Reflections. Mm-hmm. We just did one Thursday night, so a couple nights ago, on Fellini, A Director's Notebook.
Oh, interesting.
It's pretty an interesting thing. I like the style. I like how it pulls out these kind of more, you know, some people might call them curiosities as David mm-hmm. goes through these and hits the big films, but also these little ones. But, you know, that was a fun one to talk about with him and with Jordan Esso. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready for a few more Criterion Cast episodes. We've got some on the docket. I'm not sure if we'll get any this month in September. We've got some planned, but if not, you know, October's just around the corner, and I think we'll be recording an episode on The Innocents.
Oh, nice. So, nice. Yeah.
I love that movie, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, good stuff. And yeah, I like the format of David's podcast, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that it is kind of similar to the Eclipse Viewer,
Yeah, in a way it is. Yeah.
Because it's not, you're going to tackle the big films, but you're also going to tackle the little films. All right, well, we'll get. Oh, I guess I should talk about what I've been doing. We had a week off, and we had a hurricane, so good timing. It didn't hit us directly. It was looked like it was going to. One of the models basically broke everybody out, so there was no bread or water. And my dad lives in Naples, so he his house was right in the right really where it made landfall. So that kind of occupied a lot of my time. I'm a little less prepared for a show, but I think I'll be fine. This show doesn't really require much prep.
We'll hold your hand. We'll get you through it.
Thanks, guys.
Did everything work out okay, though?
Yeah. Well, as far as we know, I don't know if you've been following it. There's still no power, but my dad hasn't been back. He did evacuate, so he was fine. But he lives in an area of Naples that we think wasn't as affected. There might be some. Well, hopefully there's not a tree that fell on his house, but won't know for a while. I think he has insurance. Oh boy, I hope. yeah, of course it was devastating. There was loss of life, lots of property damage. So yeah, that was kind of a bummer. And there might be another one heading our way next weekend. So. Hopefully I can do a show, but 'tis the season. So, all right, well, I started the show saying let's not start on a bummer, but we're talking about hurricanes. So. Now, let's get into the Criterion stuff. We have a ton here. It had been kind of a light few weeks with just the news and notes that comes about, but I think they kind of saved up for the last couple weeks because we have a good bit here. So I'll just talk about the new and upcoming releases. We just had Rebecca and Festival come out this week and the week before. And then this coming week we'll have Certain Women and David Lynch, The Art Life. So real quick, any thoughts on any of those four, Max?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Rebecca and Certain Women because I've seen both of those films, Rebecca, quite a few times. It was Festival that really surprised me. I was reading the synopsis for it, and it was like, oh, the Newport film, the Newport Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And, or no, it's the Newport Folk Festival, sorry.
Yeah, folk.
And when I read it, I was like, it's got to be a different Newport Folk Festival than the one near me, because I live in Rhode Island.
Oh, cool.
When I read the synopsis, I was like, wow, it's really about the Newport Folk Festival that's just like 20 minutes down the road from me. And I didn't really believe it. And I think that the film sounds absolutely fascinating to really capture a part in time and folk with a lot of great artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to try to do an episode where we dig into Festival a little bit. I'm not sure how that'll work out, but yeah, no, I love those music documentaries, and we're going to be talking about another one here in a moment, which is even more interesting. But Trevor, any thoughts on the new and upcoming slate for this?
I think it's a great one. I haven't seen Festival yet. I've seen Rebecca many times and thrilled that Criterion upgraded it and brought mm-hmm. it back out.
Yeah,
that's encouraging for other of the Hitchcock releases that they used to have rights to. As far as the forthcoming ones, I have both the Certain Women and the David Lynch doc. And I haven't watched David Lynch yet, so I need to get to that. I'm excited about that. But boy, I loved Certain Women.
Did you?
I thought that was fantastic.
So well, are you reviewing it? Or?
Yeah, I'll be reviewing both of those for my site. And Certain Women, so I have always really enjoyed Miley Malloy's stories and didn't really realize until, you know, a few months ago that that's what Certain Women was based on. It's based on three of her short stories. And so I was thrilled about that. And then to find that the film kind of keeps the things that I just love about him, you know, the tone, this kind of solitude and quiet and, you know, desperation under the surface. All of that comes out really nicely in the film. And there's an interview with Miley Malloy on the disc where she talks about her stories and the adaptation into films and the changes that were made. So yeah, a great release that I'll be talking about more as we get to it. But yeah, some fun stuff for September.
And that sounds like a good fit for Kelly Reichardt. I think that you just kind of summarized her entire filmography. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. And I love getting these films that I haven't seen before. And so yeah, same. Well, Festival, I have not seen it yet, but I do enjoy digging into the music documentaries. And yeah, Certain Women. David Lynch, The Art Life is different. It's a unique kind of documentary. Really focuses on his art, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm looking forward to seeing it on the higher definition. I think that's one I watched on my little iPad, so probably not the best. Probably David Lynch would not be crazy about me doing that, but you know, it was there. So, all right. Well, are you guys ready for December releases? Are you guys excited?
I wish I was more excited.
I'll tell you this. I'm not disappointed or upset.
Okay.
But yeah, there's nothing here that like blows me away or anything like that. But we expected that, and it's not a big deal. So for me, anyway.
December is one of those months that don't get worked up. You might get surprised by Zatoichi was a big deal a few years back. But usually it's you know, 3-4 releases and sometimes a small box set. They've done Eclipse sets before, which hopefully will happen again. But it is funny to see the community, and boy, some people take it very seriously. They're like, "Oh boy, it's terrible, terrible," and they almost take it like as if somebody inflicted a wound upon them. But I don't care that much. But I will agree, it didn't blow me away. So, but we will get into this stuff. So. Let's first start with the Olympic set. And I think a lot of people do forget that this was announced ahead of time. And I think even if you're not into the Olympics, it's a pretty monumental set. Actually, I'd say it's the biggest set they've ever done, except for maybe Essential Art House.
It's a massive landmark set, and it is a December release. So,
it is,
you know.
Yeah. So yes, you can spend money in December on Criterion.
Yes.
So I don't want to get into Olympics too much because we've already talked about it quite a bit. But just any quick thoughts on the Olympics? Excitement? Yay, nay? Max, you excited for it? Or?
Yeah. When I saw that this was coming out, I thought that it was absolutely fascinating that they'd be collecting all these different Olympic films over 100-some-odd years. And I was really excited to dig in on it. I mean, the price tag is a little bit of a deterrent, but I really would like to pick this up someday and go through it and really see what it has to offer.
Yeah, Trevor?
Yeah, I am excited about it. It's not a release that hits my wheelhouse necessarily, but I enjoy the Olympics and I've enjoyed these sports documentaries, but it's one that I almost feel like, way to go. I'm going to support you on this. Mm. I'm going to pick it up and go through it and probably learn an awful lot and find out that it's one of the best releases they've ever done. But you know, it's huge. It's monumental, and I don't know when I will pick it up. it might take me a little while to get around to it and to purchasing it and then to watching it all. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I think that it's fantastic that they're doing it. And honestly, I'm also excited that it's off of their slate now. They can start using this time that it must have taken to produce this set and use it for other things that are more in my wheelhouse. But I want to show my appreciation for them venturing out and doing these kinds of things that are surprises and a little bit off the beaten track and new and different. And Spine 900, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely well conceived and thought out. This is not what anybody expected. Yeah, I had a pre-order for it. I just kind of casually tried it on Amazon. It's, I think it was down to like $250. So for a set like that, that's a pretty good price. And I thought, well, you know, I'll see what else comes out in December, whether I'll cancel it or not. So on that note, I might be keeping it. That might be my Christmas viewing, aside from, you know, between family gatherings and that sort of thing. So, well, let's get into the announcements. We weren't sure if they were going to happen on the 15th, happened on a Friday. Lately, they haven't been as punctual as far as that goes. So, in fact, for this show, I was kind of hoping we would get it. But just so we have some stuff to talk about, which we have plenty. I will say that in the Criterion Now group, the poll, people did absolutely terrible. I think the only one on here that people guessed was Election, and that was maybe like fifth or sixth. And then, I put the Olympic box set just because, you know, you have to put something on there, and I think three people selected it, so they were right as well. beyond that, it was Grand Budapest, Tree of Life, Wong Kar Wai, stuff like that. So you can go in the group and see how wrong we all were. So anyway, we have the complete Monterey Pop Festival, speaking of music documentaries. And this is history. This is the first Blu-ray upgrade of a Blu-ray. So, Max, do you own?
Kind of,
right. Do you own
They did do the Playtime one, which I know is a little bit different scenario, but it is a Blu-ray that changed when they released it on Blu-ray later on.
Okay, yeah. So I guess the first direct Blu-ray upgrade. So,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
they didn't just do the disc. So and Max, by the way, we haven't really established. Do you buy all the Criterions, or some of the Criterions, or none of the Criterions?
I buy quite a bit. I typically during sale periods, I typically grab like six at a time, because that's when I sort of build them up and collect them. But Monterey Pop is not one that I have, so if I was that interested, I would certainly wait for this new 4K restoration as opposed to buying the old Blu-ray.
Good advice. Yeah, so I think you're probably in the target market. And by the way, six discs for I think Barnes & Noble sale is pretty healthy. I'm not that healthy. Well, so the big thing is, Trevor, you have the Monterey Pop, right? The old one?
I don't. No. One of those older discs that I always think, oh, I'll get that next time. It'll be there. You know, it's not going away. It'll be there. I'll get it next time. So, and then when rumors started floating around that it would be re-released, I thought, I'll just wait and see what they do. And are they going to do this on UHD? Obviously not.
No. So, yeah, there was a lot of speculation that this could be the leap to that format. So I think they'll take their time getting to UHD.
I wonder, you know, we've got the whole 2017 slate now, and for the first 4 or 5 months, there were zero upgrades to Blu-ray from the old DVD. We always thought, well, maybe that's because they're going to dip their toes into the UHD market. And they must have, I mean, if that was a reason, obviously that they're upgrading plenty of to Blu-ray now. And this Monterey Pop just shows, nope, we're sticking to Blu-ray for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it sure does. And so, and by the way, I do own this, and I'm very much on the fence whether what to do, because I do like the set, and I've watched it. I've watched really every minute of the other set. It's terrific. Even though Monterey Pop itself is not my favorite music documentary, I think like Woodstock and a couple of the Pennebaker other and Maisel's are better. But it's still quite an impressive set. So really, so I guess the question is, what's different? There is a new high definition transfer, the 4K scan. I think there's some new soundtracks. There are new interviews on the disc with Lou Adler, who's the producer, and also Pennebaker. There's a new film called Chiefs, which is by Richard Leacock. You might remember him as being involved in the Kennedy films, and that's from 1968. There's a couple essays. There's that the Moore exclamation, so there's probably going to be something else. And it's also that they're releasing the single disc, which is Monterey Pop, and then the three-disc box, which has Jimmy and Otis and the everything else. So I need to get Keith's opinion, because Keith is a best version completionist, and so is he going to plunk down the, I don't know what the list price is.
Yes.
Yes, he is. You're right.
Of course he is. This is the best version of Monterey Pop.
Well, okay, so he's going to do
I'm just making the call for him. He's going to do it. He's going to get more features. He's going to get more films with this one and the 4K restoration of Monterey Pop. He has to do it. Calling it out right here.
So the question is, how's he going to feel about it? Is he going to be angry when he clicks that button? Or is it, a question. All right, Trevor, Max, am I going to buy it? Tell me.
Well, how have you been doing lately? Because there was a time when I knew you'd buy everything, but over the last year or so, you have had situations like the Arrow release of Decalogue, and I know you were kind of on the fence there. Oh, no. I'm wondering if you've let it slip at all. Your own best version completion. I don't know the answer there. Have you let that goal modify to fit more your wishes and desires now, or have you always caved in and purchased ones where you've always caved in? Huh?
Yeah, no?
You're going to hear too.
I have the Decalogue, the Arrow, and the Criterion. That's how.
Yeah, you're going to get this one too. Come on, the cover's great.
Yeah, I think the only ones I don't have are Le Poison and oh no, I did get Rumblefish because I waited because I had the Masters of Cinema, but I ended up getting
That's another one I wondered about, but yeah.
Yeah. So
if you bought Rumblefish, you'll get this one.
What I do is I put them on my wish list and just kind of like keep them in the back of my mind. It's like, all right, I don't have this. And then a sale happens and I usually pull the trigger. I'm just terrible. So are you guys going to buy it? Max, you going to buy it, or are you just going to wait?
I might wait. These festival documentaries don't really do too much for me. I think that, like, at the top of the podcast, I'll probably look into festival before I look into this one.
Okay, that's fair.
I was just opening it because the picture they have of the disc in, you know, they kind of have a 3D image of this release. Yeah. Doesn't look like a typical Blu-ray image, a Blu-ray disc anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Yeah, I do. Yeah, but they don't have the picture of the actual box on there, but that's on the website. And it's been tough to process all these because they came out yesterday. And by the way, we're recording on a Saturday morning, early morning, so this will probably come out in a couple days. But apparently there's boobs on one of the covers. Did you guys catch
the interior sleeve of the Monterey Pop one?
Okay,
it's the Monterey Pop a solo release, not the big release.
Okay. I wonder what Walmart will say about that. Although I don't know if Walmart is going to carry Monterey Pop. I think Amazon will probably be just fine with it. All right. Well, let's move on to the next big one, which I think is the big release of, aside from the Olympics, but the one people are talking about is Alexander Payne's Election. Oh, and I should mention these are all coming out on the 12th. So you can save up, spend your money, and then I guess blow it at Christmas. So we have Pick Flick. That's the cupcake. If you've seen the movie, you know what that's about. That's Tracy Flick's, I guess, electioneering. That's one of her campaign swag items. So Max, have you seen Election? Are you excited?
I have not seen Election, but I'm very excited to see it because I've seen a number of Alexander Payne movies, and this one always gets mentioned about in his filmography, so this one I will definitely be picking up.
Yeah, Trevor?
Yeah, I have seen it. It's been a long time, but I really like it. It's a good one. I was glad to see them, you know, the rumors starting to float that they were going to be bringing it out. Maybe we don't get into this, but I think the cover's kind of horrendous, but I'll get it anyway.
We do whatever we want. Yeah, there has been some flack about the cover, flick. Yeah, I don't love it either. And I try to be a positive guy and not hate on the covers too much, although some are deserving. But yeah, I'm not thrilled with it. I guess I get it. It's in your face. That's pretty much, if you've seen the movie, this is Reese Witherspoon as Tracy Flick, and she's very much a type A personality, and this is really her breakthrough role too. Of course, we now know her as a huge star. She is really, really tremendous in the film. And it's if you've seen her in romantic comedies and so forth, you might not expect what you get from her. But yeah, I don't like the cover. Max, any thoughts on the cover?
Looking at it, it's just like a really loud piece, and I guess it goes with what you would say about the film. I don't know. It's not something that I really dislike. I think there's been other ones where just they just use like stills from movies that have really bothered me. Like I think it was like Somebody in Love or something like that. The Kiarostami
like
film.
Someone, yeah.
Yeah, that cover was really poor.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's just I can do this now. It's Abbas Kiarostami. Yeah, it's okay. So anyway, let's move on to the next one. This next one is everybody in the world is excited about. This is a General Idi Amin Dada, a self-portrait by Barbette Schroeder, which is a Blu-ray upgrade. I don't know how we missed this one in our predictions list. Actually, we kind of there's been some I don't know about if I'd say hate, but maybe ambivalence. People were like, well, why would you upgrade this one? It's not exactly. I don't think it screams Blu-ray, but my wife is actually big into teaching post-colonial and that sort of thing, and so she's actually really excited about this. And somebody in one of the groups, the Criterion Now group, said she might be the only one on the planet that's excited. But I disagree. I'm curious. I haven't seen the DVD. But Max, Idi Amin, what's he do for you?
This does very little for me. I'm looking at the synopsis now, and I don't know. I like a good documentary, so maybe that would be where the interest lies. But outside of that, I have no concept of what this topic is or who General Idi Amin is.
Idi Amin, yeah. I don't know your generation, but he's before my time, of course. But he terrible dictator. It will be an interesting story. So and Trevor, you might have seen it. Have you?
No, I haven't seen it. I've been curious about it. I'm glad that it's in the collection, and I'm good with them upgrading anything. It's not what I would have chosen, for sure. It would have been really low on my list, but you know, last year they upgraded Downhill Racer, and that looked excellent restored, and I thought was nice to kind of reevaluate. And that maybe he had a little bit better reception, the news that was being upgraded, you know, than General Idi Amin. But there were still a lot of, huh? What? That's dumb. What are they doing? But you know, it's an upgrade. So I'm glad to see them moving more of these old DVDs into Blu-ray. So I was fine with it. Again, not excited about it. Not something that just like made my day. But they do that a lot. You know, they make my day a lot.
They do.
So
they do.
I'm okay if they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if December's become the month where they just kind of do the lackluster or the not so sexy release upgrades, because you know they mm-hmm. at some point we would love them to upgrade their entire catalog, but that's going to take a while. So yeah, I'm interested. I like the cover, by the way. It looks like maybe
I do too.
Is it postage stamps or kind of like a little collage. Were you about to say something, Trevor?
Well, I was going to say, they must know that, too. The general way that they released these announcements yesterday, no one was paying attention by that time because they've been late, you know, later than the 15th for a long time. No one's paying attention. To my knowledge, there weren't any, like, here's what's coming or anything like that. It just kind of happened at the end of the day on a Friday, and there you go, guys. See ya. We're out.
We're out we're going to Long Island for the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, I guess December releases. It's not like February or June or months where you usually think there's going to be something big. But yeah, I just happened to be working, and I thought, okay, let me check on Criterion, and there they were. And most months I'm getting text messages. Can you believe it's this? I was going to say Bergman, but there hasn't been a Bergman in a while. So anyway, Barbette Schroeder, who's was he Swiss or French? I forget. So there's an interview with him and an interview with author and journalist Andrew Rice about Idi Amin's regime. So yeah, if you like dictator documentaries, this is probably up your alley. And I was going to say I'll enjoy this. I don't know if enjoy is the word, but I think I'll find it interesting. And that's it. It's December, so 1 out of 10. Give me a grade on December releases, including
really
the Olympics.
Quickly. They could have upgraded Coco, the talking talking gorilla of Schroeder's.
They could.
Maybe. That would have been that one still makes me scratch my head. But I've never seen it.
Next
but
December,
another Schroeder documentary that they have in DVD that has not made its way to Blue yet. So
one day. So Max, give a grade 1 to 10 on December.
I'd actually have to give it a 7, considering the Olympics box set. That is really a deal tilter, and it's so humongous that it sort of makes up for whatever else is not coming out that month.
Yeah, Trevor?
I'll give that a 10 and the rest of the month that we got yesterday a 4. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, I'm in fact, I'll say 3, just because I'm going to have to be in that predicament about whether to buy or when to buy and how emotional I get about it or angry that my bank account's going to be drained for 3 supplements. So yeah, I'll give the Olympic set a 10 and the rest a 3. So, all right, well, let's move on to other news items. Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
ready.
So, okay, well, we had a closet video this week. We had Josh and Benny Safdie, who I saw that somebody calculated the purchase amount of the all their discs, and that was about $2,500 worth of Criterions they took from there. I think they
really
they were a little bit greedy or I guess enthusiastic. So yeah, that was maybe one of the you could put that closet video under heist films with Rafifi. So Max, did you get a chance to watch the video, or do you have any opinions on the Safdies in general?
Yeah, I got to watch the video, and I've also seen their latest Good Time.
Oh, good.
And it was the video was a lot of fun to watch because they just seemed like they were kids in candy store, that they just saw something on a shelf and they had to grab it, and they're like, oh, this movie meant so much to me at such and such a time. And it didn't seem like the amount of time that they even took with the video was enough to show how much these guys enjoyed being in there and what they thought of it.
Yeah, they had a flash forward in the video because they had a 40 minutes earlier. So a nice narrative trick there. Yeah, I would love to see the 45-minute version. Maybe they'll put that on a release someday. But it was fun. Trevor, did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I didn't spend any time trying to calculate it. I knew they had fun and had a lot in their bags and on the floor and tumbling out of their hands. But it was a lot of fun. I agree. I'd like to see a longer cut because they just had enthusiasm, and I liked their personality as they did. Yeah. I don't know them. I don't know their work. I heard of it just because people bring it up, but I don't. Other than that, I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I love the shot of, and I don't know them that well either, but the shot of the one of them holding the stack and he was balancing it with his neck. I was like, I get it. I'm that guy right with you. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, it's one of the longer closet videos. Definitely a lot of enthusiasm. And actually, we'll be talking about the Safdies briefly later. So I'll shelve. I want to get your opinions on Good Time. There was another, again, Abbas Kiarostami. is that right? Did I finally get it? Okay, it doesn't sound like a procedure you get when you're 50. So more Abbas Kiarostami films are coming to the Criterion Collection, beginning with 24 Frames, which is his last one. So we've kind of known that Kiarostami was going to be coming back. There have been rumors for a long time about the Coker trilogy, and I think the Touch of Cherry Blu-ray that's long overdue. I don't know about the materials. So Max, what's your feelings about Kiarostami?
I really like some of his films. Like I have Close Up and Certified Copy is absolutely brilliant, but I'm excited to see his last film that was showed at the Cannes Film Festival recently this year. And I actually didn't know about, like, maybe some of his other films will be coming soon, I guess. But Yeah, I've never actually seen Taste of Cherry, and I'd love to see that on Blu-ray for the first time.
Oh, cool. No, yeah, that if well, I was going to say if you like Certified Copy, yeah, they don't really have a whole lot in common. They're different stylistically, but if you like Close Up, I think you'd like Taste of Cherry. They said that there will be some Criterion releases in 2018, so we have that to look forward to. I don't know if it's a distribution deal, so often with these, they'll parcel them out over a few years. I think, you know, the vendors deal, we still have a few left from that. The Czech deal hasn't started. I think probably Haneke, we have a few. I'm guessing that wasn't announced, but I'm guessing there's some more. So, Kiarostami, Trevor, I'm sure you're a fan.
Yeah, I am. I only know what Criterion has released, though, including back to DVD with Taste of Cherry. I don't know anything else because I kind of relied on them to keep bringing it. So I'm thrilled about this because I have loved each and every one of them to varying degrees, but always on the love side. I've been very anxious to see the Coker trilogy, mm-hmm. and been tempted to just sit down and watch them anyway, but I kind of keep holding back thinking, no, I want to wait for their presentation of it, see what they surround it with and how it looks on Blu-ray when it comes. So hopefully that's one that I'm hoping is one for 2018, but we'll mm-hmm. see. I'll take whatever they come up with, though, because I think he's important. He's been gone from us for just a little over a year now.
Yeah, speaking
and
of.
So let's get, I want to keep digging into his work.
Yeah, I'd also like to see 10 is a big one. That was earlier, and it's been on Filmstruck, so I'm optimistic that'll arrive. But I think he's pretty much the Iranian cinema voice. I would like to see more Iranian cinema. What's his name? Panahi. Some of his 90s and aughts work is really fantastic. I think Iranian film is. Iranian art film, at least, is pretty amazing, and we only have like 2-3 directors that we have access to, so that's huge news. I'm really excited about that. And all right, well, the next piece of news was True Stories was confirmed. It was confirmed by the cinematographer Ed Lachman, is that right? At Telluride, or Telluride? I got called out for pronouncing that wrong. I think it's Telluride. You're pretty close to it, Trevor. How do you pronounce this?
I've always heard it Telluride.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going with the French Telluride. True Stories is David Byrne, 1985-86. I'll start with you, Trevor, since you live closer to Telluride. have you seen True Stories?
I haven't. No, I don't know anything about it. When this news hit, I went and read up a little bit on the film because to my knowledge, it's never even come up in conversation with anybody on my end. I realize that's showing how limited my circle might be. And sometimes maybe it's one of the biggest films ever, but no, I don't know anything about it. I don't know whether to be excited or not.
Oh, you'll like it. Well, I said I haven't seen it either. I'm just I'm just saying because you tend to like Criterions. They tend to have their way with you. Max, do you know this one or Talking Heads in general? Is that your thing?
No, I actually knew nothing about this either. I like Talking Heads quite a bit, but this looking at the synopsis and everything like that, I'm into musical comedies, so. When this comes out, it'll be right up my alley, I imagine. So I like finding these discoveries in Criterion.
Me too.
Much more than stuff that like I've already seen and being re-released. Like those I don't rush to the store to get because mm-hmm. I'm like, I know what to expect. But here is like something new, a new discovery to be made.
Me too. Absolutely. Kind of like Festival. I've known about Festival for a while, but I just hadn't gotten around to seeing it. And I still haven't, but I will soon, maybe even today. But yeah, I've known about this for a long time, haven't seen it. I love Stop Making Sense. Not that there's really going to be much in common, because that's basically a concert film. Pretty happy.
I am curious if I have heard of it. I've listened to Stephen Tobolowsky's podcast.
Okay.
Love it. I don't remember him ever talking about writing this film, being a part of this film, anything like that. I mean, he's one of the writers here. Well, he's with Beth, and he's always talking about Beth. And so I don't know.
He's done a lot though, so maybe he just hasn't gotten around to this.
Hasn't gotten around to it, and maybe I'm just forgetting something.
It's also a little on the obscure side too. I think maybe not a top headline for the Tobolowsky. Is it the Tobolowsky Files? I've listened to some of it, but not religiously. But I do like him. He was a guest at a film festival I was at once, so did not get to talk to him though. All right, well, let me get into some festival stuff. So, Max, you kind of kicked this off. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, never mind. So there are a lot of festivals going on right now. It's kind of the second wave of festival season in September. So we had really two that I'll talk about. We had Alem Klimov's Come and See won the Best Restored Film at Venice Classics. And by the way, I just think it's so cool that they give awards to Best Restored Film. I don't think they do that at Cannes Classics. So, Max, have you seen Come and See? And
No, I haven't. I haven't come and seen it.
You haven't come and seen it?
No, this looks pretty interesting. And just like similar to what Stalker was like a new thing for me this year, I think that this is maybe a new thing for me down the line. It seems like, at least from the art, it looks kind of similar.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare them stylistically, but tonally maybe. They're both very dark. Now, you won't find many darker films in Come and See. It's one of the darkest, most brutal films. It's kind of up there with Shoah, basically, except this is not a documentary. It's fiction. It's horrific, but it's mind-blowing. I think a lot of people, if this comes on Criterion, which I'm feeling pretty optimistic about, even though nothing's been announced, it will blow some people's minds. So, Trevor, have you seen it?
No, I've heard you talk about it a lot, actually. feels like ever since we first met, I've heard you kind of bring this one up as a hoped-for release. And you know, you've talked about how everything you just said, has made me wary but excited to see it, kind of one of those important films out there. So, and I've seen a lot of other people talk about it, too. But no, I've never seen it yet. I hope this, because you've brought it up so much, that you're right.
I hope so too, because I guess I have.
You have a good nose for these things, so I have faith in you.
Well, I appreciate that. One thing, I think this is one that gets teased. I think it was on Filmstruck. I think there was a Phantom page. So little tidbits here and there. So every time we get those little tidbits, I kind of jump at those. But yeah, don't watch it with the kids. And probably the next time we talk about it will be when we get an actual announcement, if we do, or announcement another label. Hopefully not. But anyway, that will probably come to home video at some point next year or two. And then speaking of Venice, The Shape of Water, which is Guillermo del Toro's new film, is getting rave reviews, and it won the Golden Lion. Golden Lion is Venice's prize, right?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. So apparently it's amazing. I don't think that played TIFF, did it, Max?
Yeah, no, I saw the last film that I saw at the festival.
Oh, so you did see it. Okay, so are you on board? Is it good?
Yeah, it's a very good film. It's among the best work that Guillermo del Toro has done. So,
cool. Well, that's high praise. Yeah,
I don't
think it'll be Criterion yet.
Probably not. Just saying, it's good to hear that The Shape of Water seems to be holding up so well, because it's been like a decade since I've loved something that he's made. Even though I've admired, Hellboy 2 and Pacific Rim and Crimson Peak, I really loved the atmosphere, but thought it was just very, very soft on the narrative, very kind of flimsy as far as all that goes. I'm just glad. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth came out in 2006, and it's nice to think that he's maybe doing something again that reaches those heights.
Yeah, I don't think Pacific Rim is coming out on the Criterion Collection. and you mentioned The Innocents. I think that you can make that parallel. That's kind of what I was hoping Crimson Peak would get to. And I guess it does have that gothic vibe, and it looks amazing.
It has the vibe. Yeah. It hasn't got the substance.
Exactly. Very, very good. You're always amazing, Trevor. All right. So, and then this is probably not going to come out on Criterion, but since he was on the show, Sean Baker, friend of ours, The Florida Project is getting rave reviews, and Max, you mentioned you hadn't seen it, but I know there's been a lot of buzz about it. So was there a lot of chatter there?
Yeah, there was certainly a lot of chatter at TIFF, and I had some friends who managed to see it and also went to the party, and William Dafoe was there and everything, and they said it was quite good, and it's really moving. So I really can't wait to see it myself.
Yeah, a local person, a film curator at our indie film went and knew that, you know, we'd done the episode and reached out, and she's like, "You'll be in love with this film." So I can't wait. I'm just gonna wait for it to show up on the big screen. I'll be there the first day, I think. Can't wait. I guess did you get to watch any of the other Sean Baker films, Trevor, or?
No, I feel like I'm neglecting something I shouldn't be, but I haven't seen Tangerine or any of those.
Yeah, and they're good. But I know you kind of tend to steer your viewings around Criterion, but yeah, he's a huge Criterion fan, so it's I'm happy for him. I think this is Tangerine was kind of a breakout for him, but it sounds like this is going to be his big breakout. And I think I had actually joked with him on the episode. I thought maybe Oscars were on the horizon. I think it's looking like there might be a chance. This could be this year's, like the Moonlight of last year. So, all right.
How did he take those jokes? Was he like, ha ha ha?
He was like, "Hey, don't jinx me," basically.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. He's like, shut
joking
up.
Way. He's great though. Yeah. He's a really awesome guest. So, and then the last piece of real news, well, is something that's not Criterion related, but I wanted to bring it up in the Criterion section, is that just within the last couple of days, Kino announced a 12-disc box set of Fritz Lang films. So pretty comprehensive. I think it's basically his prominent silent work. So this means this is a bunch of films that aren't coming to Criterion. So some good stuff here, and I'm kind of excited about it. So I'll just throw it out there. Just jump for it if you want. Fritz Lang, any thoughts?
How much is this? I can't see the price.
I don't think it's, well, it hasn't been listed at Amazon yet, so I think the list price is a little high. I'll pull it up here, but I don't know how much they'll discount it. It is, Max, have you seen any Fritz Lang?
I've seen some of his movies, but I haven't seen any of his silence. So this is pretty interesting to me.
Let's see. I don't see a price, so that's probably coming. But yeah, I have seen a lot of these. And the thing is, I have a lot of the Masters of Cinemas of these, so I probably won't get the box set. But of the films I've seen, I recommend them. Destiny, Frau im Monde. Metropolis, of course. And,
I was going to say Metropolis.
Yeah, it's a pretty big
maybe,
one.
Maybe.
And then I haven't seen the Dr. Mabuse films. I think there's at least one, maybe two.
There are a few here. I've seen them. This is great.
Yeah.
I don't remember getting the press release for this. I usually get their stuff. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention at the end of this week.
It actually came out yesterday. I'm just seeing now.
Oh, so. I haven't paid attention to anything since.
Same time as Criterion. I wonder if they were trying to steal some thunder, but yeah, pretty big deal.
Yeah, this is great.
I'll put a link in the notes. I think I'm not going to get it but I will say that Kino has been upping their game. I think we kind of threw them some shade a few episodes ago, which was probably undeserved because I think they're doing some good work. So, all right, guys. Well, let's bum people out. We lost Harry Dean Stanton this week, 91 years old. He's been a fixture in the Criterion Collection. Of course, he was just on Twin Peaks. And boy, Twin Peaks lost a lot of people this year. So, Harry Dean Stanton, in memoriam. I forget who it was that said that we should probably not be downers, but more celebratory. So Max, what's your favorite Harry Dean Stanton role?
Certainly his role in Paris, Texas stands out most for me. I know he's a great character actor that's been in countless films, but I think he really gets to shine in that movie. And also being one of Wim Wenders' like prominent like narrative films, it's a fantastic performance.
Yeah. He was not in Wings of Desire, was he? No, he wasn't. But yeah, well, Repo Man was a big one. Trevor, you got anything?
Certainly. I don't think that that we can say this without talking about Paris, Texas. That would immortalize him, if nothing else. But yeah, he's great. I actually, one of my favorite, it's a weird one, I don't know why, but is his incredibly tiny spot at the very end of the Straight story.
We
get this buildup of this brother, and for whatever reason, when he comes to that door, I love that film. That's one that I'd love you to start making the rumors come about that they're going to release it on Criterion or anywhere.
It's rumored, Trevor. We just started it. There you go.
Okay. I'm glad. I'll be excited when this hits.
I can't wait.
But I love how much, even in that little tiny role, he's able to convey this sense of welcome and desire and relief with the wariness, like, whoa, this is awkward, but I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say anything. You know, he has that ability, and it did it through countless films, sometimes in gigantic roles and sometimes in very, very tiny roles. I mean, look at his filmography. Mm-hmm. He's
done a lot
right up until, you know, well, he's got things with HBO that still haven't even aired yet. Fantastic.
I've heard, Trevor, that his new movie Lucky is really fantastic and does a good job for his legacy as well. So I can't wait to see that.
The 90-year-old Harry Dean Stanton doing great work, you know.
And he was on Twin Peaks amazing. Too. Well, the timing is weird. We just dropped the very first close-up episode, The Rose. Trevor, you probably haven't even seen that yet, but it's on iTunes now. You had been the only person besides us that had heard it before.
Oh, you did. I'm sitting here. I know that episode. I listened to it 2 years ago. What are you talking about, Aaron?
So, well, the world is going to hear it here coming up. Actually, at the time of this recording, I still haven't put up the post, but the episode is on the feed. But the thing is, he was in that, and if you remember from the supplements, he was kind of an asshole, and I think we actually called him out as being an asshole on that show. So now I feel terrible. and so, tremendous actor. He did have a prickly reputation, and I think part of it was maybe his method. He liked to keep actors on edge, and yeah, maybe he also had a maybe he was a complicated person, but as an actor, he was fantastic. And he was in.
We get the benefit of all of that, and we didn't have to go through the pain. So
there you go.
I'm okay with it, I guess.
There you go. And he deserves all our tributes. He's been really an indie darling, and he's really chosen tremendous films. So been a big part of him. So yeah, if he pissed a few people along the way, I guess he wouldn't be the first. All right. Well, that was a lot of news. So thanks for hanging in there with us on that one, guys. Let's get to short takes. So as people know, this is just us to talk about a few films that we've seen or a film that we've seen lately from the Criterion Collection. So, Max, have you been able to watch anything lately?
Yeah, I've watched a few things lately. I thought that I'd talk about one that was coming out soon because it also includes Harry Dean Stanton, and that's, of course, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. Mm. And I was watching the series, the new Twin Peaks The Return, and I hadn't watched Fire Walk With Me all the way up until maybe like episode 15 of 18 of the series.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I really need to watch this movie because I think I'm missing a lot of the pieces of the puzzle. And I finally did. And yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. I know that it had a lot of detractors when it originally came out because people didn't know what David Lynch was doing with the movie or like what he really wanted to accomplish, and the fact that Kyle MacLachlan isn't really in it because he didn't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie plays pretty great, and that last sequence with Laura Palmer is just really crazy.
Crazy is a good word. Yeah, the crazy is a good word for his entire definitely for the Twin Peaks finales. So we're actually going to do a show that we're going to kind of do a post-mortem a post-mortem on the series, and we'll talk about the release when it comes out. But yeah, that's a something it's definitely has some missing ingredients if you see the series without. And I'm a guy that skipped half of the second season and did just fine. So, Trevor, did you watch anything? Well, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I have. I feel like I've talked about all of it. I haven't slipped in any covert, old movies just to check them out lately. It's been kind of busy with the new releases and then doing some of these things with David. We did rewatch Z, which is one of my favorites in the collection, and talked about that with the last episode. And then, like I say, the most recent one would be Fellini, A Director's Notebook, which I saw, back when the original 8.5 DVD came out and didn't know what to make of it. But then rewatching it now, having a little bit more experience with Fellini, it's still a very strange thing. It still shows a lot that I don't like about Fellini, as well as things that I think are pretty impressive about him. But you know, that's really kind of where I am, that and Certain Women. And I've already kind of talked about him. So my short takes will be very short. I recommend Certain Women and
spoiled your short takes.
And when, listen to our take on Fellini, A Director's Notebook. It's only like 20 minutes long of that podcast. Cool. So it should be pretty quick. And then, I do recommend it because it is a Fellini film. Mm-hmm. It's not just some strange documentary, made on the side by PBS or anything like that, as great as those often are. This is a Federico Fellini film. So you got to watch it if you're a Fellini fan or completist.
Yeah, I have. It's one it doesn't come up in conversation much, so I haven't seen it. Is that a DVD release or is that a Filmstruck?
I watched it on the Blu-ray. It's a supplement on the 8.5 disc, and I didn't know, but I think it is on Filmstruck. Jordan Esso said that it was, so I trust him. I don't think he would have lied to us about that.
He probably would have checked his sources. Yeah, I love 8.5, but I've never cracked open the Criterion Blu-ray. I've been saving that for a very rainy day. So I guess I'll have
there's a lot on it.
I bet. I would think for that caliber release, it would be pretty stacked. Well, mine is going to be tough to be brief for mine. I finally watched Kobayashi's Harakiri, which was one of those big tentpole features that people seem to love that I had just been saving, and I found the right moment for it. And yeah, now I have one fewer big Japanese movie to see, and one fewer Kobayashi movie to see. This is and Tetsuya Nakadai, we'll be kind of talking about Mifune here in a second, but. And these are the two primary Japanese classical period film actors, Nakadai and Mifune. You can argue which one is better. I think Mifune is definitely the most popular. But man, he is fantastic in this movie. Very, not your typical samurai film, more of a slow burn, you get a little bit of a Rashomon vibe without the mixed up narratives, just the way they kind of flash back and forth. Phenomenal film. Have you guys seen Harakiri?
No, I have not.
No, well, I recommend it.
I have. It's great. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I like samurai movies, and to me, this is one of the best.
Yeah, it's something. I recommend it, Max. It's I don't know if you own it, but it's definitely worth checking out. Do you like samurai films or? Kurosawa, Mizoguchi.
Oh yeah, and you mentioned Mifune, and I love a lot of his samurai films. So I think that this would be in my wheelhouse for sure.
Well, guess what? We'll mention them again in a second. So that's a good transition to Filmstruck. And we had 2 weeks worth. So I'm going to do some speed round here in a second. But first, I don't know if you saw this, Trevor. There was a there's going to be a Meet the Filmmakers series coming up. They had one initially with Rachel Singari. I forget. I don't have that in front of me, but she's the Greek director that did a few films. But that was when Filmstruck launched last year. So they're starting that again, and they're going to have one coming up next month for the Safdie brothers. And they're going to have – they won't have Good Time, but I think they'll have most of the rest of their filmography. Or maybe they will have Good Time. I'm not positive. They're going to have A Pitch Upon We're Aesthetical. They're going to have one on Robert Townsend. Here, look at me pronouncing stuff.
you did Robert so well. That was amazing.
I knocked Robert out, yeah. That was tough. So did you see this press release, Trevor?
I did. I think this is great. This is exactly how I like to watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like to dig into a director's work, and these are some that I never – I mean, I've seen some of Joe's films. I'll go with that route.
A Pitch Pong.
yeah, Pitch Pong, Weird Seth the Cool. But I want to see a lot more of his. But I don't know. I don't get out to the theater very often. They don't tend to be readily available – these particular films in my neck of the country in Utah, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just so this is great. I was really excited to see it.
Yeah, the tough part is finding time to see him. So we already brought up the Safdie brothers, Max. So I did. Any thoughts on Good Time? I don't believe that's in the mix, but
yeah, I don't think it will probably be in the mix. It's a recent A24 release, but yeah, Good Time's pretty exciting. It's where Robert Pattinson is really fantastic in it. It's basically life and the life of a bank robber for 24 hours or so, and how he's trying to navigate getting money and trying to escape being arrested. So it's pretty interesting.
Okay. There's also going to be Charles Burnett. I forget. That's going to be a big one, too. So I have the list here. Yeah, Good Time is not on it, but there's going to be a documentary called Meet the Filmmakers with them. That's probably why they were at Criterion. There's also Lenny Cook, The Black Balloon, John's Gone, Daddy Long Legs, The Acquaintances of a Lonely John, The Pleasure of Being Robbed, and We're Going to the Zoo. So there you go. Lots of Safdie films. I have not heard of really any of them, but I'll try to check a couple out. And, all right, well, there was, because it's been 2 weeks and Filmstruck's been knocking it out, I have a lot to talk about here. So, they're doing the director of the week. And so, big one was Jean-Luc Godard. Heard of him?
Who? No.
He's some French director. So, Max, are you a Godard fan? He's very divisive, so.
I don't think I am, well, what was it the Band of
Outsiders?
Band of Outsiders?
Yeah, Band of Outsiders. I think that's one of the ones I actually enjoy, but maybe, yeah, his films don't really knock me out.
He's tough. He's tough. I have a love-hate relationship with him. I also like Band of Outsiders. I'm actually on record not thrilled with Breathless, but I need to give it another look, so... I have the list here, but Trevor, do you have thoughts on Godard? We could take 20 minutes. Any thoughts on Godard?
I'll be quick. I'm kind of like you two. I think he's a filmmaker that I always feel I have to give another chance to, because everyone, you know, loves him, and it feels like he is the pinnacle, and that you just have to appreciate him. And if you haven't yet, it's because you haven't done the work, or you haven't gotten there. And, you know, I'm kind of tired of doing the work. I don't like his stuff.
Really? Okay.
For the most part.
All right. I think hate is fair. And by the way, there Alphaville is on there, so Doug will be very happy. There's actually quite a few. There's Film Socialism, Two in the Wave, which is a documentary about him. And I think, was that Renee? There's another filmmaker. I forget who. Oh, no, it was him and Truffaut, of course. And, let's see, Forever Mozart, Masculine Feminine, A Woman is a Woman, Le Petit Soldat. So, yeah, some here that aren't on disc, so that's pretty cool. And there's another one, probably more obscure, directed by Ettore Scola, and I don't have anything on there. Do you guys?
No, I haven't seen
it. I don't. I need to watch more of his work. They did the, what's it called? A Special Day. I was like, not One Fine Day. That's not right. A Special Day, and I still haven't watched it, but certainly heard great things about it. So I would like to watch these other ones as well.
Yeah, me too. And and in fact, that's terrible of me. I have A Special Day, and I bought it when it came out. I still haven't watched it. That's not cool.
One of them is this kind of ties back into my recent watch, is How Strange to Be Named Federico, which is Scola's 2013 documentary about Federico Fellini. At least that's the synopsis. There, I don't know if he's doing weird things with it, but it might be a more clear-cut documentary about Fellini than Fellini, A Director's Notebook is.
Cool. All right, well, there's another one, and we have to be quick here, but there's 8 films, Portraits of Poets, and Trevor, you're a huge literary guy, so any poets here jump out at you?
I'm sorry, Aaron, I'm not seeing that one.
Oh, that's on the main channel. There's Leonard Cohen, William Burroughs, Jackie Curtis, there's Ginsberg, there's James Broughton, and Al Purdy, and I think a couple others. So some beat poets.
Those are things that I do like and I'd like to get to know, but they're not in my personal, this is my good taste, you know, mm-hmm. Burroughs and Ginsberg, and those are the things I'm like, that's very important. I can appreciate that.
Sure.
But they aren't, here's the thing, I'm looking at it now, but they're not the kind of poets that I love, but you know, they've got a voice and they broke barriers and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about where I can go with it. These don't thrill me. I'm looking at the page now. I do see it. I do like Leonard Cohen, so that's kind of interesting to see that documentary on in there.
Yeah, I don't think a movie about maybe, say, like Kate Chopin is going to do very well, but or Emily Dickinson. All right.
I would do well with me.
me too. Max, are you a poetry fan or beat poet fan? Or it's okay
not
if you're
really.
Not.
Yeah, not really.
Well, my wife teaches poetry. She's an English professor, and so I read her the list, and she was like, nope. But she's not really on board with beat poets either. But again, respectful. But I think it's an interesting list, interesting curation. So then we have Toshiro Mifune Samurai. So speaking of which, Mifune was awesome and a little hammy. So here, I'll just ask Max, what's your favorite Mifune role?
It has to be Yojimbo.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a great one with Nakadai against each other. Trevor, favorite Mifune role?
If I go out of the samurai, it'd be in High and Low. It's my personal. But other than that, if I go back into the samurai, yeah, I would probably say Yojimbo as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, Seven Samurai is very famous. He's very mm-hmm. very hammy in that one. I'm actually gonna say the Samurai trilogy. I think that gets a lot of undeserved. I'm not gonna say hate, but ambivalence. It just isn't mentioned as much as Kurosawa's work, but I think it's pretty awesome. So
I've never gone through it. I have the Blu-ray. I bought it the day it came out. It's stupid. I haven't watched it yet.
I smell an episode. So
yeah, I need to do this.
There's a pretty epic battle at the end of Samurai 2 that just is fantastic.
And it's good that it does have, and I think it would be up your alley, Trevor, because it has some action sequences, but there's also a lot of emotional scenes, really gorgeous scenery. But I think lot of people watch that old, 1998 Criterion DVD or maybe earlier, and it did not look good. All right, well, the last little curation is Punk Rules, is that it? Yeah, Punk Rules. So a collection of punk music. I could talk a lot about punk music, and so I'm just going to pass here, but I'll just throw it to you guys. There's Decline of Western Civilization. Do we have any punks in the house?
We need David here for this. I'm out to sea.
Yeah.
Jubilee, Derek Jarman, no?
I like the
crickets.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about the Decline of Western Civilization doc, so I want to see it. But this isn't my area either.
I've seen all three, and they are worthwhile. So, yeah, watch those. All right, guys, you ready for a speed round? I'm just going to speed round the entire Criterion channel. So, Max, I don't know if you've heard an episode with speed round, but do you know the rules?
No, give me a quick rundown.
It's been a while, so.
Give me a speed rundown.
What we do is I just shout out names. It is fun, and it's really word association. Just 5 seconds, quick takes, and I'm just going to go through a whole bunch of stuff. So you can basically follow along. And I'll tell you what, I'll start with Trevor. So you're not and if you haven't seen something, just pass. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right, Trevor, Emigrants in the New Land. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We got to start the music. Music starting now. All right, Trevor, Emigrant's New Land.
Beautiful, must-see, epic, touching.
Agree. I'll say, I think, 7 hours, max.
Yeah, Emigrants is the only half I've seen. I think that it's outstanding, but also a little bit hard to watch at times.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, Gamora. Max, seen it?
I'm going to take a pass on this one.
All right, Trevor.
Pass, too. Never seen it.
Okay, good crime drama. All right, and I'll kind of reverse the order here. Life and Death of Colonel Blimp, Trevor.
Oh, another must-see. Thanks for starting with me on these. One of my favorites.
A lot of crickets on this show, and that's okay. That's luck of the draw sometimes. Max, have you seen Colonel Blimp?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Paul and Pressburger movies, and I almost prefer it over Red Shoes. It's an absolute must-watch.
It's a masterpiece, right with you. So, oh, and we already talked about it, Paris, Texas, but I'll go ahead and throw it out. Max, Paris, Texas, give me a quick thought.
A slow burner, but absolutely essential.
Good summation. Trevor.
Yeah, ditto.
I'll just say R.I.P. Harry Dean. This is your film. And then short plus feature, there's Carlos Cuarón. I didn't get to watch any of these because I mentioned Hurricane, but there's also Divorce Italian Style. I'll just throw it out to both of you. Seen it?
I'll take a pass on this one.
Pass on me too.
Pass me too.
David's mentioned Divorce Italian Style enough. I know I should watch it.
I should too. All right, Mon Uncle, Trevor.
Beautiful again. Funny, fun, absolutely necessary.
Max.
But I don't know the other one.
Mon Uncle.
Yeah, part of the Toddy Box set that I have not watched yet, so that's certainly on my list.
Oh, you're in for a treat. I'll just say Fish Fountain. Everybody needs a Fish Fountain. Friday double feature, I'll do these a day at a time. a movie at a time. So I don't know if you got to see it, Max, but Renoir's A Day in the Country?
No.
All right, Trevor, I know you have.
It's perfection.
It pretty much is.
I love it.
And I haven't seen La Plaisir, Max Ophuls. Have you seen it, Trevor?
No.
I have. I like it not as much as A Day in the Country, so I feel I'd be disappointed if I watched this double feature. But it's good.
And Max, you passed.
Yeah,
there's also the Funny Games, the Haneke. Max, Funny Games?
No, Haneke is not something I'm very versed in.
Really? Okay. Well,
which version?
It's the original, the Belgian. So they're both difficult. Have you seen either, Trevor?
I've seen the English language version. Okay. I've been wanting to see the Belgian one.
It's better.
So maybe I will.
It's better. And the last one I'm striking out here was The Plumber by Peter Weir. I'm just guessing you guys haven't seen it either.
No.
And so then there were a couple. I'm just going to kind of run through. There were a couple of additions. So Bottle Rocket, Trevor, by Wes Anderson.
Oh, I love it. People kind of, I don't know, consider it a lesser Wes Anderson. I think it's perfect in its own way. I love it.
Yeah, Max, Bottle Rocket, seen it?
Yeah, this one's a lot of fun and gives us an introduction to a lot of great actors that have been with us for a lot of years.
Yeah, I think underappreciated. I think because it's stylistically a little different than his later work. All right, The In-Laws, Arthur Hiller. Max, have you seen it?
This is going to be something that I watch on Filmstruck.
Serpentine. Trevor?
Haven't seen it.
Serpentine. I don't like it, actually. Sorry. But I do like the Serpentine scene. That's pretty iconic. There's. I'm just going to run through any of these. I'm just going to name like five titles. Feel free to give some thoughts. Lemillion, Rendezvous, Dragon Inn, and Return of the Scarlet Pimpernel. Anything, Trevor?
I'm excited to see Dragon Inn. I haven't seen it yet, but it's been due to come out for a couple years now.
Yeah, I think it has. Max, seen any of those?
No, but I agree that I'm really interested in seeing Dragon Inn and finally taking it in myself.
I have not seen it either. I'd like to see that, but I'm kind of going to kind of wait a little longer to see if the disc comes out. I will say that Rendezvous is an early Juliette Binoche, and it has one of the weirdest and kind of disgusting, but not in the way you'd think, sex scenes. It's worth watching.
Making it sound so appealing.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's not like graphic disgusting, although the film is plenty graphic, but I'll just say there's a component that you wouldn't expect. So All right. Well, that's it. So we have our pieces of flair. So, Max, thanks for joining us. Piece of flair is just anything cool that you've done or seen or are interested in that's not Criterion. So do you have anything for us?
Yeah, actually, one of the independent theaters up in Boston does a 70mm film festival. This is upcoming as their second year doing it. And they have just announced that they are commissioning a brand new 70mm print of Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey to be used for the Somerville Theater in Boston's exclusive use. That they're getting the print for the 50th anniversary, and it will be absolutely amazing, I imagine. I saw last year they showed 2001 Space Odyssey on 70, and they're doing it again this year. But I'm sure a newly struck print will be something to take in.
I bet. As it turns out, I just saw it theatrically about 3-4 weeks ago, right before we had the eclipse, whenever that was. And I saw it in the big screen here because we were in totality. And yeah, that was not 70mm, but it just such a gorgeous and amazing theatrical experience. It was probably like the fifth, maybe more time I'd seen it, but certainly can't really match up many experiences like the theatrical. So Trevor, get a piece of flair?
Kind of. I'm not sure how this stands in our community, but I finally, after a year, have watched the first season of Stranger Things.
Okay, that's fair.
Was it? And partially because I really thought the trailer for season two looked fun and has, you know, Vincent Price old narration there going on, and I just thought I got to catch up with this and see how it is, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. Kind of classic. It definitely took me back to my childhood with the 80s feel, both in the film, but also in the style and in the kids and just the adventure and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know. Do people like Stranger Things in our community, or am I?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was just actually wondering if you would recommend it to Criterion fans. No, it's not. I watched the first episode and I thought it was okay, but I didn't dive in. So do you think it's worthwhile?
Yeah, I mean it took me a while. I started watching it while I was doing the treadmill and things like that. So Max, it definitely kept me going for all that. I liked it. It's not as scary as I like, but that also kind of takes me back to the 80s, all these things that are supposed to be scary but actually kind of aren't.
Right. Were you about to jump in, Max?
Yeah, I've seen the first season as well, and I enjoy it quite a bit. If you're nostalgic for like E.T. and like 80s Spielberg,
right, yeah,
you'll certainly get something out of this and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got from it. So, or maybe even like some of the Abrams homages. Maybe Abrams didn't do it, did he? Or did he produce it or something? Okay.
No, but yeah, but Super 8 is similar.
Right, Super 8 is very similar, yeah. All right, well, my piece of flair is a Region B release that may be important. The BFI is putting out Celine and Julie Go Boating by Jacques Rivette, which is, for some of us, it's kind of a big white whale of a release. And I actually tried to watch it after surgery, which is, I've talked about this before on one of the podcasts, but that's the worst time ever to watch a Rivette film, I learned. So I've just been waiting for a proper release. So this is Region B. It's kind of tied up in rights hell, I think, because it was on New Yorker Films. But I'm hopeful that we'll get a stateside release. And I would hope it would be Criterion, but maybe not. I will buy the BFI, though, and I will finally watch it. So thank you for joining us. Boy, we actually made pretty good time. I think, speaking of Band of Outsiders, I think we sprinted through the Louvre. So Max, thanks for joining us. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at MH Coville. They can find the podcast at It's the Pick Pod. You can see my work pretty frequently now at Film School Rejects. I didn't mention at the top that I'm also part of the Boston Online Film Critics Association. So, look for our end of the year voting coming up in December. So,
we have a lot of Boston people on the show, so you might have some friends that are frequent guests. So, yeah, well, thanks for joining. I'm We'll put all your links in the show notes if people want to check out your work. Trevor, where can people find you, sir?
Just my site, The Mooks and the Gripes, and on Twitter at MOOKSE.
Yep, and a good site. It's half literature, half Criterion. It's quite a combo. Right. So I'm at AWES505 on Twitter. The show's CriterionCast Masterfeed, and you can find us on the Criterion Now group on Facebook. So that's it. Thanks for joining. It was a lot of fun.